الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فهذا درس تفسير كتاب تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان، تأليف العلامة الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. ولقد شرعنا في تفسير سورة الكهف بحكم أننا نقرأها كل جمعة، وهذا ما أشارت إليه سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فرأيت أن يكون من المناسب أن نفقه ما نقرأ، وعندما نفرغ منها إن شاء الله سوف نعود ونبتدئ في سورة البقرة. Basically, all praise due to Allah, who deserves all the praise, and may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are explaining or reading the tafsir of Al-Kareem, the generous, Ar-Rahman, the merciful, fi tafsir kalam al-mannan. Tafsir, the facilitation from the generous, most merciful, in explaining the words of the mannan, the one who's the bounty bestower, which is basically the shaykh saying this is the facilitation from Allah to interpret the words of Allah by the shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. And we said that we were explaining Surah Al-Kahf due to the fact that we recited every Friday as the sunnah has indicated, so I figured it will be suitable that we understand that which we are reading. Once we are through with it, inshallah, we will be starting again from Surah Al-Baqarah. And we will continue on as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to do so. So anyways, who can remember, remind me, and I hope people remember, where did we stop last week? أيوة ما كثين فيه أبدا أحسنت. Then Allah جل وعلا says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. طيب excellent. And here we go. Okay, so we mentioned that we were discussing last week the paradise and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the righteous believers in paradise, and how when compared to this world, there's really even almost no point of comparison. Jannah is full of happiness, full of bounties of Allah. It's eternal, it doesn't stop, it doesn't, no one in there will be ever disturbed, no one in there will ever feel unhappy, no one in there will feel that he wished or she wished they had more. Everything will be in the ultimate sense of joy. This dunya, this world that we're living in, is never like that. You can never be too happy for too long. Something will happen that will make you sad, inevitably. And you cannot be really too sad for too long. Something will happen that will make you happy. And usually you're more sad than happy, realistically speaking. And Allah says in the Quran, in another surah, in Surah Al-Balad, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. And we have created the human in hardship, according to one interpretation. Hardship meaning life will be difficulty, you'll be facing problems, you might lose your job, you might get a new job that is worse than your old job, you might lose a family member that you love, you might lose your money, you might have your car broken, as it happened to me this morning. I came down and there's a flat tire. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's so easy to fix it, 5 riyals and we're in business again. But at that point, you know, I'm trying to make it to the class on time, and the last thing I need is a flat tire, and I look like, oh, subhanAllah. But Allah is merciful that everything quickly, in 5 minutes we were back in business, on the road. So, this is just an example. As for Allah's statement, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, يعني من اليهود والنصارى والمشركين الذين قالوا هذه المقالة الشنيعة فإنهم لم يقولوها عن علم ولا يقين، لا علم منهم ولا علم من آبائهم الذين قلدوهم واتبعوهم، بل إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said regarding the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after Allah mentioned that He has revealed this book and it is straight and there's no crookedness, to give glad tidings to the believers and to warn the disbelievers, and also among the things that are from the objective of this book is to warn those people who claim that Allah has taken a son. Who are these? Yes, Jews, Christians and the Mushrikeen and the polytheists who were the tribe of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh said, from among the Jews, the Christians and the Mushrikeen, those who have said this ugly statement. فإنهم, and Allah says, and the Shaykh says here, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَقُولُوهَا عَنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا يَقِينٍ. They do not even say this based on any knowledge, neither do they have any certainty about it. طيب. There's no knowledge that they possess, and not even knowledge of their fathers, the forefathers, those whom they are following and imitating. Verily, all they're doing is following assumptions and that which the souls desire, yani whims and desires. And this is very important for us to understand, that whatever the Jews and the Christians are upon, particularly the Christians, because among all the people who claim that Allah has taken the son, the Christians are the most foul of them and the most dominant, and it's apparent. The Jews, they were sect among them who had made this claim. The Christians unanimously, all of them, regarding of the denomination, almost everyone agrees that Jesus is the Son of God. And they have no knowledge of that. They have no firm knowledge of that. The only form of knowledge that they have is that what they're imitating their forefathers. My pops believes so, so I believe so. My grandma believes so, so I believe so. But do you have anything that makes sense? Do you have any authentic knowledge that you can present to the people? None. The only thing they can bring you is the Bible. Search in the Bible, you don't really find any verse that would really make you feel 100% positive that this is the case. Rather, you will find that in the Bible it says in many different occasions that Solomon is the son of God and David is the son of God. The term son of God is given to many other prophets alongside with Jesus. So you don't really feel secure that Jesus is the only special one anymore. And so, plus you say, okay, this book that you have has been distorted. It's not even authentic. Look how many versions there are. So they have no firm knowledge. See, there's no certainty, but rather it's just assumption. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come in, sir, come in. Wa alaykum salam, ahlan wa sahlan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reality of the situation here. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. Listen to this. The Shaykh says, أي عظمت شناعتها واشتدت عقوبتها وأي شناعة أعظم من وصفه بالاتخاذ للولد الذي يقتدي نقصه ومشاركة غيره له في خصائص الربوبية والإلهية والكذب عليه. The Shaykh says, and what regarding the statement of Allah, an outrageous, a monstrous word that comes out of their mouth. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Verily, all they're saying is a lie. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making clear to any Christian or otherwise who reads the Quran to understand what's going on here. Look. So the Shaykh said, عظمت شناعتها. يعني the ugliness of this statement is beyond real. It's really terrible. It's a terrible statement. واشتدت عقوبتها. And the punishment of this particular statement has become extremely severe. And the Shaykh said, and what is more outrageous than describing Allah that He has taken a son or a child, which indicate deficiency, Once you claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the sun, you're automatically claiming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no longer the self-sufficient. He's no longer the maintainer. He's no longer the rich. Because a child comes out of need. You don't bring a child to play around. Specifically, when it comes to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of having anyone. And when they claim that Allah had to take a son in order for him to come down on earth and see how the son of Adam is always sinning, so he can die on their sins, he can die for their sins, it's basically somebody grabbing his ear like this. Rather, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to forgive all of us because we are sinners as the son of Adam, Allah would have forgiven everyone automatically. Because Allah is able, right? Allah is rich, Allah is powerful. Everybody will be forgiven and all of the children of Adam will go back to paradise where we originally came from. If Allah wanted to do so. But to claim that Allah had to go through all this long procedure is basically saying that Allah is unable to forgive us unless He has to get a child who's from a different nature, yet a God at the same time. And have to have a third body involved, which is the Holy Ghost, who is also a different nature, but also part of the same God, who they try to explain to you that it's also of the same nature. Yani they put you in a maze that even if you were the biggest philosopher on the planet, you will not be able to understand Trinity. Because it doesn't make sense. The bottom line of things, and ask any Christian who claims to be intelligent to explain Trinity, they will not be able to do so. Because it goes against common sense. You can only convince a crazy individual that God is one in three. And God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are equal. Only a crazy person will understand. Somebody who says, say, hold on a second. Who came first? They will tell you, oh, God the Father, He first, because He sent the Son. Oh, so then they're not equal. Because one had to be there before the other one. Once you were there before and you had to create another God, you must be better than Him. Why didn't He create you? Why didn't Jesus create the Holy Ghost? And you go like this, they will try to tell you they're equal, but they have in their mind there's a separate image for each so-called God. They're not the same. And one is a ghost, and one is the Father, and one is the Son. It's just crazy. Everybody here is a Muslim, alhamdulillah, understand. I'm just trying to make it sound even more crazy because it is very crazy. So the Shaykh said this indicates that Allah is deficient. And also, because of this statement, they are attributing the qualities of Rububiyyah. Who knows what Rububiyyah is? Wallah, brothers, if you are level 2 and you don't know Rububiyyah, wallah.
Oneness of Lordship.
Oneness of what?
Oneness of Lordship.
Lordship, ahsan, wallah, he's a doctor. The oneness of Lordship. Rububiyyah comes from the word Rabb. Rabb means Lord. Or the one who is the caretaker of His creation, in this sense. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the oneness and the uniqueness of the qualities of Rububiyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. Among them is creating. Nobody can create nothing except Allah. From scratch, original. Ownership. Allah owns everything. Arranging the affairs. Allah arranges the affairs. And the other qualities of Rububiyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. So when they claim that Allah has taken the son, meaning someone is sharing with Allah these qualities of Rububiyyah. Because He's also the Son of God. So now, there are more than one who possess the ability to create. And there's more than one who possess the ability to maintain and to arrange the affairs and to have ownership and dominion. And they are dividing the rights of Allah with others without any knowledge and without any certainty. This is a crazy statement that they say. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're lying against Allah. And actually they are attributing qualities of Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah. And the one in worship. Because not only they say that Jesus is the Son of God, but they also worship Him. And they bow down to Him. And they have an image of Him in the church. For the Catholic Christians, for example, that He is, that you ask Him for stuff, man. Say, you know, I have this and I have that, and what have you, He's sitting over there, you know, looking like He needs some help himself. And then they sit there, ask Him. And as the Masayikh said, if a bird goes to come in the dirt and poop on him, he will not be able to take it off. What kind of God is this, man? What kind of God is this? Can't even, you have to clean him? You have to wipe him off? Yani, somebody must have made him. Somebody was sitting there in his work, in his business, sitting there carving God. So cold. Then put him in the church, yallah. Go get some worship. Crazy stuff. Alhamdulillah, we're Muslims. We don't do crazy stuff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. So who is more oppressive than the one who claims and invents a lie against Allah? This is the greatest oppression. To speak on Allah's behalf and to claim that Allah has taken His Son and to worship Him and His Son accordingly and without having any firm knowledge of that except following what the forefathers were doing. أي كذبا محضا ما فيه من الصدق شيء وتأمل كيف أبطل هذا القول بالتدريج والانتقال من شيء إلى أبطل منه إلى أبطل منه فأخبر أولا أنه ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم والقول على الله بلا علم لا شك في منعه وبطلانه ثم أخبر ثانيا أنه قول قبيح شنيع فقال كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم ثم ذكر ثالثا مرتبته في القبح وهو الكذب المنافي للصدق. Look at the Shaykh here. The Shaykh says some valuable words. Pay attention, brothers. Allah says, إِن يَقُلُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. Verily, they are only saying lies. He says nothing but lies. He says, meaning this is ultimate, pure lying that is not associated with the truth in any shape or form. And he said, pay attention. Now look at this. Now here's the skills of the scholars. Here's the difference between us and the scholars. The Shaykh says, now pay attention how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He falsified and proved false the statement in sequence بالتدريج in sequence والانتقال من شيء إلى أفضل منه and by moving from something that is batil, which that is false, into that which is even more false. And for example, first Allah told us there are three reasons why their statement is incorrect and is against the truth. And Allah went in sequence. The number one thing Allah mentioned, أَنَّهُ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمِ وَلَا لِعْبَانِ. The first thing is that they have no knowledge of that. For them to come and claim that Allah has taken a son, the first problem is that they do not have any knowledge of that. Not themselves, neither do their forefathers. Rather, it's just whatever has been relayed to them and conveyed to them from generation, they accepted blindly. If they were to open their mind, they will no longer remain Christians. If they were to open their mind, they can't. But they keep it shut off because they're having fun in this world, thinking that they're going to live forever. So this is the first gradual step. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually moved. The Shaykh said, وَالْقَوْلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ لَا شَكَّ فِي مَنْعِهِ وَبِطْلَانِهِ. He said, and speaking about against Allah without knowledge, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that this is something that is prohibited and something that is incorrect. Because you cannot speak on God's behalf and make claims against Him. Then the second level that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, first He mentioned they have no knowledge of that. ثُمْ أَخْبَرَ ثَانِيَ أَنَّهُ قَوْلٌ قَبِيحٌ شَنِيعٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is an ugly, unacceptable statement. The first thing, no knowledge. The second thing, Allah says, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. A monstrous, a big, outrageous word that is coming out of their mouth. This is the second level in proving that this is false. And finally, the last one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned after He said that this is an enormous, a monstrous statement that is coming out of their mouth, Allah mentioned how ugly it is and the level of ugliness that it contains. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. Verily they are saying nothing but lies. And which is saying...
Does kadhiba comes from the word kadhaba?
No. Kadhaba comes from the word kadhib. No kadhib. Kadhib is lying. Kadhib is a person who lies. Kadhaba is in a... It's called the mubalagha. How do you translate that? Somebody who does something very often. طيب كذاب means somebody who is always lying. كذاب is stronger than كاذب. Like you say, تائب is a repenter. تواب, somebody who is always repenting. You see what I'm saying? So the person who does a particular action often and repeatedly, there are certain Arabic words which indicate that, but through the word itself. So كذب is lying. كاذب is a liar. كذاب is somebody who is a professional. يعني all day, so you be drinking tea, say drink a tea, say no. Habibi, everybody see you drink a tea, no, this is coffee. Yes, sir. And some other people, كاذب, he lies every now and then. Anyway, the Muslim shouldn't lie regardless of the situation. So كذب is also derived from the word كذب here. And actually, this is the root from Allah A'lam. But because it comes in a grammatical sentence, in the structure of the sentence, and it ends with alif, tanween, because it comes in the state of nasb. This is a grammar that I will not even go into, inshallah. طيب. Now look what the Shaykh says. ولما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا على هداية الخلق ساعيا في ذلك أعظم السعي فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يفرح ويسر بهداية المهتدين ويحزن ويأسف على المكذبين الضالين شفقة منه صلى الله عليه وسلم عليهم ورحمة بهم أرشده الله ألا يشغل نفسه بالأسف على هؤلاء الذين لا يؤمنون بهذا القرآن كما قال في الآية الأخرى لعلك باقع نفسك ألا يكونوا مؤمنين وقال فلا تذهب نفسك عليهم حسرات وهنا قال فلعلك باقع نفسك أي مهلكها غما وأسفا عليهم. طيب, the Shaykh said, and verily, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very keen on guiding the people, the creation, to the truth. He was very much concerned about people embracing Islam in order to attain their salvation. It wasn't something that he really didn't care much about. And he would strive, alayhi salatu wasalam, much in doing so. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to become very happy and content when he see people becoming, getting guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of course Allah is the one who guides the true guidance. The Prophet ﷺ guides them in terms of directing them towards the truth. But the actual guidance is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And you can tell somebody, there's two forms of guidance. There's the guidance, hidayatul al-tibyan, wa hidayatul tawfiq. Hidayatul tibyan meaning the guidance of directing someone and clarifying the truth. So when you speak to some non-Muslim about Islam, you are doing a form of hidayah, some sort of guidance, as far as directing them towards the path of the truth. The second kind of hidayah, hidayah al-tawfiq, is the facilitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their heart to absorb the truth. And this is something that only Allah controls. No matter what, you can never go inside someone's heart and make him a believer. No matter what you do. Even the Prophet ﷺ, the best da'i, the best caller to Islam at all, his own uncle didn't accept Islam. That's why Allah reveals, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Really, you do not guide the people who you love, but Allah guides whoever He wills. So that kind of guidance of change in your heart, the Prophet ﷺ is unable, and none of us is able to do it. But the guidance of directing people towards the truth, this is what is intended by this verse and other verses, that the Prophet ﷺ guides the people in this sense. طيب. And the Prophet ﷺ used to become very sad. And وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. أهلا 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 أهلا. We were saying here, so the Prophet ﷺ used to feel extremely sad and unhappy when he encounters those who lie and those who are misguided. And he عليه الصلاة والسلام, and this is out of mercy عليه الصلاة والسلام towards them. يعني he would be sad because he doesn't want to see somebody choosing the wrong path in life. He knows he's the messenger of God. He knows that he has been given the truth. and he sees someone rejecting it, it makes him sad because he was merciful alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed him as it comes in this verse. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. فَلَعَلَّكَ perhaps بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ meaning you will kill yourself, right? عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ due to their rejection, following their path in terms of trying to guide them to the truth. عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. If they do not believe in this, in this statement, in this speech, which is the Quran, asafa, sorry, too bad. Can somebody read the interpretation as it is written in the book? You have the noble Quran?
Yeah. Perhaps you will kill yourself.
Yes.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over their footsteps, for their turning away from you, because they believe not in this narration, the Quran.
Yeah, thank you very much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to become very sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to make it easy. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to always lighten the burden upon the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by giving him the reminders often in the Quran. And when the Prophet ﷺ used to have to struggle with the people and have to have patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal verses dealing with what Noah had to go through, and what Moses and Abraham had to go through, what Jesus had to go through, what the other prophets had to go through with their people. And Allah told them in the Quran, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ. Be patient as those who were given, as those mighty messengers who came before you were patient. And Allah promised them that the victory and the guidance would eventually spread. It was a rough time for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not leave him unattended. Rather, he always reminded him that what is happening to you, because you have to understand, brothers, you live in a community. Let's say you live in a community and everybody knows you as being truthful. You're known among your people for being the trustworthy, the truthful. Nobody has nothing against you, absolutely nothing against you. طيب, one day, while you're sitting in your room, some person comes in and knocks the door. طيب, you let him in, he tells you, look, I'm such and such person, and I am coming from such and such country to give you a warning that in 2 weeks, my president is going to run up in your country and occupy it. And all of you are going to die. طيب, and you've seen this person, he sat with you, you know this is the fact. Everybody in the neighborhood trusts you. طيب, and this is something that is very possible to happen. He leaves. The next day you go out, you gather the people. You say, my people, if I told you something, have I ever lied? And they tell you no. Have I ever betrayed you? They will tell you no. If I told you something, would you believe it? They will say, of course, man, you're the most truthful one in the neighborhood. We would think anyone is lying but you. He says, I am telling you that in 2 weeks, such and such person is going to come. A person came to my house yesterday, this, this and that. As soon as you say this, say, ah, you're a magician, you're a liar, you are a thief, you are ABC. You just told me earlier that you would believe me. I'm telling you this is real, this is going to happen. Wallahi, trust me. And everybody is turning away. And it's your own family members. It's your own people. You're sitting there speaking to a person like, man, what's wrong with you, man? You think I'm going to lie? I'm going to come up with something like this out of my own mind? You know that what I'm telling you the truth. And they know that what you're saying is the truth. But they don't want to leave. Maybe they like the neighborhood. And if they listen to you, meaning everybody has to move and move to another city. And they love the city too much. So they know that these people might come and kill them in 2 weeks, yet at the same time, because of their love of this world and their neighborhood, they're not willing to sacrifice it. You will feel sad. This is the case of the Prophet ﷺ. He was like that with his own people. And when he first told them about the revelation that he received, he gathered them. And he told them, he brought everyone. He called them and he stood on the mountain ﷺ on a hill. And he told them, if I told you that some people are going to come upon you tomorrow to waging a war against you, would you believe me? They said, yes. He said that I am giving you warning of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Abu Lahab told them, Tabbalak. Tabbalak يعني, may you be destroyed. لهذا جمعتنا, this is why you brought us here. You brought all these fancy Quraysh leaders, and you brought us out of our homes, and you made this gathering to tell us that you're a messenger of God, and you have some warning from God. Who are you? Although they know him that he was the truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. Allah defended the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam automatically. Who are you to say, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted Abi Lahab. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to suffer from this with his own people. Who knew that he would not lie. He had never lied. He has no reason to lie. He was illiterate. He didn't learn from no Christian, no Jew. He wasn't associated with no people of the book before. How is he's going to come with this whole Quran in the Arabic language, in their own language, which they were very skillful at. And Allah challenged him in the Quran, come up with one chapter, which is only 10 words, equal to the Quran, if you are truthful. And nobody was able to meet this challenge. Yet, they refused. So he, alayhi salam, used to feel heavy. And the same way you would feel, because you want goodness for these people. Man, you know, what do you want? He doesn't want no money, they offered him money. They came and said, look man, if you want money, we'll give you all the money. You want to be a leader, we will make you our leader. You want women, we'll get you the finest woman in our tribe. Take her. Just leave this thing alone. Leave this worship on God alone. We have to have these other gods. Not that they disbelieved in God completely. They didn't think that the universe came by coincidence. They knew that Allah was the creator. But they had to use those who they considered as interceders. I'm sorry. I'm still a foreigner. I'm not really an American. I'm an Arab. But I try my best. So they wanted to use these in order to get to God. They say these will intercede for us with Allah. These are special to Allah. All the gods that they had. But Allah says in the Quran, وَلَأَنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? The disbelievers, they will tell you Allah. And in Arabic, they call them Allah. And the disbelievers used to swear by Allah. Yet, because he came with the La ilaha illallah. That's okay. If you really believe that Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth, then you are not supposed to worship anyone alongside with Him. And you're not supposed to dedicate the full love that only Allah deserves to any other creation. Specifically if it's a statue, man, that is you built, you carved. He doesn't deserve no worship, not even a single grain of worship. They said in the Quran, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا هَذَا شَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. They say in the Quran, he made the gods one God? This is something crazy. This is something ajeeb. This is something strange. How are you going to make us leave our idols? How are you going to make us leave those who get us closer to Allah and worship Allah alone? Although this is normal. This is normal. But these people rejected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't destroy yourself from hardship, from feeling uneasy inside that these people don't believe. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَجْرَكَ قَدْ وَجَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. This is because your reward has been established with Allah. Your job, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاءِ. Allah says, and upon the messenger is only to convey. There will be a 25 riyal sleeping fee in my classes. If anybody would like to sleep in the class, please bring somebody with you. We could use it, huh? We'll bring some refreshment for the brothers.
25 riyal?
Hey, I see you, Sheikh Yusuf.
Oh,
you're defending
me.
Ya Habib. طيب. وَهَؤُلَاءِ لَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَهَدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَصْلِحُونَ إِلَّا لِلنَّارِ. فلذلك خذلهم فلم يهتدوا، فإشغالك نفسك غما وأسفا عليهم ليس فيه فائدة لك. The Sheikh said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the reason why this verse, يعني revealed the interpretation of this verse, is that Allah has written the reward for you. Your reward with Allah is there, because upon the messenger is only to convey. And he alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled his duty of conveying the message as all the messengers who came before him. Nuh alayhi salam, Noah, he invited his people to Islam for 950 years. 950 years. People used to live longer than before. Before they used to live longer than now. Now the average is 60 or something. 950 years he was calling his people, and only a few of them believed. But all his job is to only convey the message. And he, may Allah send his peace and bless upon him, did so. So did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he tells him, and those people, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows, had there been some goodness in them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have guided them. But verily these people are worth nothing and deserve nothing but the fire. They're good for nothing but the fire. And this is very important for us Muslims to understand. Because there's a misconception among Muslims that is usually spread by non-Muslims, and it is entertained by Muslims who do not have sufficient knowledge. Which is the idea that how come some people don't become Muslims, right, after the message has been given to them, or the message was never received to them? And would Allah punish people oppressively? Some people think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressive. This is a dangerous statement or a claim against Allah. Rather, Allah said in many verses in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah says in the Quran, verily Allah does not oppress the people in anything. Rather, the people themselves oppress. The act of oppression is initiated by the son of Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't oppress no one. Now, Allah has knowledge of our choices. Allah has knowledge of us more than we know about ourselves. Because who created us? Allah. Allah knows who is good and who might accept Islam and who will not accept Islam. And Allah knows that if there was goodness in someone, and Allah gave us the free choice. This is very important. Each one of us, ya akhwan, we have the ultimate free will. Do you feel like anybody's forcing you to be here? If you chose, you would open the door and leave. Allah did not make you come here, but Allah decreed that you come here. But Allah gave you the ability to choose. The people, Allah knows who's going to go to the heaven and who will go to hell. From now, not even from now, from before we were created. It already has been decreed who's going where. Yet, it's from the knowledge of the unseen. And it's because Allah knows our choices. Yet in this life, Allah gives each person the free will to make the choices that he or she wants. If Allah wanted to guide everyone, everyone would have been guided. If Allah wanted to misguide everyone, everyone would have been misguided. But Allah gave us, the human beings, the ability to make the choice. He gave us a natural inclination, a natural instinct that distinguishes between the truth and the falsehood. Then He presented to us truth, and He presented to us falsehood. And He gave us the choice. He Jalla Jalaluhu, His knowledge is so encompassing that He knows the choices that we are going to make. Yet at the same time, we don't know. Do we know? No. So all we have to do is act. I will strike an example that will make it easier to understand. Inshallah. Let's say you have a boss. And you are an employee. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Come in, Habibi. How are you? Let's say you have a boss. And you are an employee. Your boss comes in and tells you, by the end of this month, I'm going to do one of two things. Either I will give you a raise and I will promote you to the general manager, or I'm going to fire you. Say, man, that's tough. He says, do what you want. You have one of two things. I don't know what I'm going to decide. I know what I'm going to decide. You don't know what I'm going to decide. Let's put it that way. I know what I'm going to decide. You don't know. But I'm telling you, at the end of this month, it's one of two things. Either I will promote you and give you extra money and treat you nice, or I'm going to tell you, Salaamu Alaikum. Go find a job somewhere else. Oh, yeah. Now, you're an employee. What would you do? You don't know what he's going to choose. You have two things you can do. You come to work, and you put your feet up on the table, and you stop working. Khalas. This guy, man, terrible guy. What kind of ultimate he's given me? So the other employee comes and says, what's wrong? Why aren't you working? He said, the boss told me that at the end of the month, either he's going to promote me, or he's going to get me fired. He said, okay, so do you know which one it is? He said, no. He says, so why are you taking it easy? Work. Work.
Work hard.
Work hard.
Yes.
And whatever he has, common sense says, if you do this, he's going to fire you anyways.
Yes.
Then he's going to come the next day and say, man, you ain't even working. You know I was going to give you a raise, but because you acted silly like this, you're fired. If he comes seeing you working hard, and he winds up making the choice of firing you, you did your job. Your job was to do the job.
That's it.
But you don't make the wrong choice and Allah say, I'm going to take it easy because maybe he would fire me. Why? Because your knowledge is limited. You have an obligation, do it. Whatever he chooses, because of the knowledge he has that you don't know, you don't act according to that because it's unknown. So this is the excuse that the people say. So if God already decreed that I'm going to go to the fire, then why should I even do good deeds? I might as well be a disbeliever. So how do you know that you're going to go to the fire? What if Allah decreed you're going to go to paradise? By you doing this, now you're really going to go to the fire. All you have to do is try. You don't know the knowledge of Allah, so you strive. So this is common sense, right? You will say, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So anyways, the disbeliever is a disbeliever because of his choice. And he cannot have any excuse that Allah oppressed him or her for becoming a disbeliever. This is a choice that they make of their own. Because Allah created us with something inside that makes you believe. By nature, you have to believe in a greater power. And Allah, He revealed to us about Himself, so we will know what this power, about this power, the ability, the strength, and so forth. So we will not be ignorant about it. So anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people are no good. So when you give them, when you try to give them guidance, and they reject it, don't feel bad. Not to the extent that you kill yourself. You will still feel bad, because you want goodness for them. But not to the extent that you wind up giving up on da'wah, as some people do. Like you become a Muslim, and you know, you're happy, right? And you go to the first family gathering with all your non-Muslim family members after not seeing them for a long time, and you have become a Muslim, and you think, okay man, I got the truth. So in the middle of the party, you say, hey everyone, stop. So everybody stops the noise and everything, everybody's looking at you. Say, I have become a Muslim, and everybody here will not speak to me, unless he too becomes a Muslim. They look at you, and they go back to speaking to each other. He said over there, hey, did you hear me? I said I will not speak to anyone unless they become Muslim. And say, look man, there's the door right there. See you later. Don't speak to none of us. No problem. So you go outside and say, man, these people are no good. Wallah, I'm never going to speak to any of my family members. All of them are on the X list. And you never give them da'wah again. You tell them, take it easy, man. You come give them one choice, they don't even know nothing about Islam. You give them one choice, they reject you, you say, I give up on da'wah. This is too difficult for me to do. And you leave them alone. No! It's a gradual process. First you sit down with the people, you make friendship with them, you establish goodness with them. Slowly but surely you start. Even if they reject in the beginning, you keep trying until they die. Even if the last time you see them is on the deathbed in the hospital, you go over there trying once again. Look man, you're about to die. Say La ilaha illallah. As the Prophet ﷺ did to his uncle. Say La ilaha illallah. And as he did to the Jewish boy who was dying. And this is an interesting story. So you don't give up. You say, oh, this da'wah is too difficult for me. And these family members are evil. Don't say that. because they might become better than you in the future. But some people, they have some misconceptions, and you need to be able to clarify for them. They think Islam is something else. They think Islam is something else. It's upon you to explain to them that Islam is not what you think it is. It's not what you see on CNN and on MSNBC and what you see on these TV channels. This is not Islam. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Ahlan wa sahlan. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. You're becoming a sheikh every day. Every day you're becoming more of a sheikh. Yalla, next week you sit over here, I sit there.
Inshallah.
So Islam is not what you see on the news. Like the CNN, you think that they have the most trustworthy news, right? They made this TV series, or whatever they call it, the documentary, called God's Warriors. I don't know if you got to see any. Some brother was nice enough to put the whole thing on a CD for me, because I personally do not watch TV. He put the whole thing on a CD for me, and he gave it to me. So I watched the thing, because they're speaking about Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. So you think they'll give you a nice, fair picture of Islam. يعني والله, it is unbelievable, man. They gave the worst image of Islam, absolutely the worst image possible. They picked the most deviant people on earth, who are far away from the teachings of Islam, yet who claim to be Muslims. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. And they made it appear to the whole world that this is Islam. Who did they bring? The Shia. The Shia, a bunch of people who carry some big chains and walk in the street. They hate themselves. So what are you doing? They say this is to feel the pain that the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ felt. And they hit themselves. They bring the child, they get a sword, cut his head so he can bleed. This is the Islam that the CNN showed. They showed you every terrorist in the world and his ideology. They showed you a woman who wants liberation, who wants to be free, and to say, no, a Muslim should be a woman should be a leader. And a Muslim, there's nothing in the Quran that says you have to cover yourself. They brought the most corrupted people that you can bring and told the people this is Islam. As for Christianity, all they dealt with is abortion, and how some denominations allow abortion, other denominations do not allow abortion. Waalaikum salam. Waalaikum salam. They dealt with the silliest things. So they didn't touch upon the differences between born-again Christians and the Catholic Christians, and how every sect claimed that the other one is a disbeliever. No, no, no. This is inappropriate. Waalaikum salam. Come in. Waalaikum salam. That they didn't say. That they left it alone. All they differed is abortion. Some people say you should kill children, some people say you cannot kill children. And they showed you these devout Christians who are crying out of love of Jesus. Yani something so well done. As far as they made Islam look horrible. If any non-Muslim watches this, says, look man, from these three religions, the last one I will ever choose is Islam. Because they made Islam just like another polytheistic religion. Because the Shia, many of them are disbelievers, just for you brothers to know. The Shia that are making all this noise, many of them are non-Muslims. Because there are things that allow you into Islam, and there are things that kick you out of Islam. Right or wrong? Hala, you embrace Islam by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You become a Muslim. Then you say, you know, Islam is good, but I still feel a very strong connection with Jesus. I will go to church only once a month on Sunday and do some acts of worship over there. And I will pray the 5 daily prayer in the masjid. What do you tell this individual? You see, if you go to church one time and you go on the ground one time, bow to Jesus, you have one outside of Islam. Inshallah, you pray 20 times a day as a Muslim, supposedly. And that act of yours nullifies your iman. Tayyib? So there are things that bring you into Islam, and there are things that will take you outside of Islam. The Shia have so many articles in their belief system that takes them outside of Islam. Alatul. Some of them tell you, if you want to drink some water, say, in the name of Hussein. Yaret. Yaret in the name of Allah. If they said in the name of Allah, we will have no problem. They say in the name of Hussein. Yani, just like the Christians and Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What happened to Islam and La ilaha illallah? Hussein, man, is a human being, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you think he will be happy if he heard you say, in the name, in my name? He used to worship Allah. The Shia, some of them believe that Jibreel made a mistake. He was supposed to come upon Ali, the relative of the Prophet ﷺ and the fourth Khalifa. He went to Muhammad by mistake. So Muhammad received 23 years of revelation by error. Ya Habibi, if you believe so, you're basically saying that Allah has no control of His creation. Allah cannot control an angel where he's going to go. Allah will allow a mistake to take place for 23 years. Yani, you must be out of your brain cells to ever think this kind of thought. But the Shia will have some crazy stuff like that. Anyways, not all of them are disbelievers, but a very good portion of them are disbelievers. The CNN brought predominantly the Shia. One of them said, one of these tired ladies, alaykum salam. One of these tired ladies, she said, I needed some money. And so I said, oh Hussein, I opened the drawer, I found 3,000 riyals. I'm like, no way, man. No, don't put that to the people, man. This is not Islam. Since when does a Muslim does this? You need some money, you say, oh Hussein, oh Muhammad, and you find money in your drawer? You're worshipping who? Allah or the creation of Allah? This is shirk. This is shirk. This is associated partners with Allah. This is the religion that is against the religion of Islam. This is what the Prophet ﷺ came to take the people away from. So the Shia are the worst examples. But the CNN put these people as part of their documentary about the three religions, where Muslims were portrayed as either crazy, lunatic terrorists who are looking for innocent people to blow them up, or people who are attached to other than Allah, or some crazy people who think that if you say Hussein, you're going to find some money in your drawer. And none of these represent Islam. So it's upon me and you to learn what Islam really is, in order for our poor family members not to remain upon the path of misguidance, because they think Islam is whatever the CNN thinks. So we have to make that particular change. We have to exert ourselves in order to take the people out from the darknesses of oppression and misguidance into the light of guidance and tawheed, which is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَنَحْوُهَا وَنَحْوَهَا عِبْرًا فإن المأمور بدعاء الخلق إلى الله عليه التبليغ والسعي بكل سبب يوصل إلى الهداية وسد طرق الضلال والغواية بغاية ما يمكنه مع التوكل على الله في ذلك فإن اهتدوا فبها ونعمت وإلا فلا يحزن ولا يأسف. The Shaykh said, and in this particular verse where Allah says perhaps you may kill yourself In exerting yourself, the speaker to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in guiding the people, but if they do not believe in this speech, then let it be. So sorry, so woe to them. It's irrelevant. He said in this verse, there's a ibrah, there's a lesson for the people, and the lesson is that every person who is commanded to invite the people to Allah, all he has to do is convey. All that he or she will have to do is simply convey, and exerting himself in every possible way to bring the sources of guidance to the people, and to close the path of misguidance as much as possible, while relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing all that. And so if they are guided, then alhamdulillah, and all praise due to Allah. And if not, that he shall not grieve or become sad, because this will make him weak. This will make him weak. هادم للقوة, and it will destroy his strength. ليس فيه فائدة, and there's no benefit in feeling weakness or feeling tired, because the people did not accept. So you have, let's say you give a lecture, and it's 50 non-Muslims, and when you're done, nobody embraces Islam. طيب. Nobody felt that what you said was special. Or maybe they moved a little bit up the scale, but not ready enough to become Muslims. Your job is to convey the message. So if nobody accepts Islam, they call you next week from the same center, they say, we want you to give another lecture, say, no, I'm not going to come anymore. Say, why? Said, I gave lecture next week, nobody became a Muslim. So there's no point in giving da'wah. These people are no good, they're never going to become Muslims, I don't want to give them da'wah. Yalla, let them go to the fire. I'm no good. My da'wah is no good. I'm unable to relay the message properly. I don't want to do this anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this verse, in this command, there's a lesson for us, brothers, that we do not feel this way. Don't feel this way. Your job is to convey the message. Whomever becomes guided by the will of Allah, this is between him and Allah. Whomever rejects the truth, this is also between him and Allah. Upon you is to relay the message and don't give up. Because if you give up, that you will make yourself weak and you will no longer fulfill the obligation of inviting people to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم بل يمضي على فعله, rather he should continue in his da'wah الذي كلف به وتوجه إليه, which he has been given as an obligation. Of course, giving da'wah is an obligation in a sense upon each one to the best of their ability.
Is there continuation verse 5?
No, we're still in verse 6.
Verse 6.
نعم. Because the way it is in the Quran, the verse comes then the number. So it will have the verse and it says number one. Number one doesn't belong to the verse that comes after, rather it belongs to the verse that comes before. So now you think we're reading 5 because there's 5 and the verse, but we're really reading 6. Because 6 comes after the verse and that verse is verse number 6. A. He says, and anything beyond that is outside the person's ability. And if wa'alaikum salam, and even if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tells them in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ, you do not guide those who you love. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is telling him in another verse in the Quran, you do not guide the people who you love. It's not up to you. You can bring them to the sources of guidance, but to actually change their heart into embracing Islam is something that is something you're unable to do, even if you love these people and you love goodness for them. And وَمُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَقُولُ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي. And in another occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Musa, Moses. He told Allah, he said, my Lord, I do not possess nothing except myself and my brother. Yani I can only protect myself and my brother because you made us believers. As for these people, the Jews who drove him almost, the Jews, man, they had a quality of disobeying the messengers and giving them a hard time and killing them. Right? That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Who do you think wanted to kill Jesus? It was the Jews. The Jews. This is the prophet that Allah sent to them for mercy, out of mercy, for them to become guided through the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, not the teachings that they teach in church today, the teachings that he received then, the teachings of La ilaha illallah. They said, we're going to kill him. They put a cross and they try to crucify him. Of course, as Muslims we know that he, alayhi salatu salam, was never crucified. So they made Musa, alayhi salatu salam, also suffer. He says, so whomever is, if this is the case with the prophets and the messengers, then anybody else is more so. Yani if they were not able to guide people whom they love, then we will definitely not be able to guide people whom we love. If the prophets and the messengers can't do it, we certainly cannot do it. In the best sense, we can only try, but the guidance is given from Allah to those who want it. Those who want guidance, Allah will never leave them misguided. Those who want the truth, Allah will never leave them unattended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to the truth, even if it's in the most strange way, as it happened to some people who embraced Islam. In the most unexpected way, they became Muslims. Because they wanted guidance. They were searching for the truth. They inside knew that whatever I'm upon right now is no good. They'll be sitting in church and they're not really convinced that what is going on around them is correct. They had a feeling that something was wrong. Those people, Allah will guide to the truth if they search for it. The problem is when the people know that everything around them is no good, that they don't care. Those are the people who will not receive guidance. Because of a choice of their own, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressive to his creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُصَيْطِرْ. So remind, because verily you're nothing but a reminder. All you do is remind. أنت مذكر. You are just a reminder. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصَيْطِرْ. يعني you have no control over them. You cannot control and make them believe or otherwise. And you're supposed to have a class with Dr. Yahya at 11 o'clock, which is in 7 minutes. So we will stop for now, inshallah, give you a chance to maybe go to the bathroom or drink some water or make some tea or whatever you want to do. And Waalaikum Salaam wa rahmatullah. Come on in, sir. And Waalaikum Salaam, ahlan ahlan. Waalaikum Salaam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. So, Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.